Bird Dog's khaki shorts are just like your mother. They'll wrap you up and keep you comfortable no matter where you are. Their zipper pockets will securely hold all your things. They'll fondle you with a love you thought only your mother was capable of. Oh, and don't worry. These shorts won't call you a disappointment. You might even start to love Bird Dogs just as much. If you want to experience motherly love again, hurry to birddogs.com/MLB and buy a pair. They're selling out quickly, but they'll throw in a free Bird Dogs tumbler if you get there on time. That's birddogs.com/MLB.
Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
For the second night in a row, we will have a live interview from outside the United States of America. That's kind of cool. We're all about spreading the after hours love. This time last night, we were getting set for an interview from across the pond at Royal Liverpool in Hoylake, England. And in fact, our friend Matt Adams of Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio and Golf Channel and Fairways of Life, he's jack of all trades, he actually joined us from the media center at the Open Championship. Well, the other big international event going on right now, as we speak, the Women's World Cup into day number two. Now, the United States doesn't play until Friday evening, 9 o'clock Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific time. But we'll have a chance to preview the USA's first match, and it will take place against Vietnam. We've had Stephen Goff on the show before, but actually, I think the last time we had him, he was outside the United States. He may have been covering a World Cup qualifier in Central America somewhere, Central or South America. I actually think that might be, I don't think it was Mexico. I think it was somewhere else. Anyway, Stephen Goff covers soccer extensively for the Washington Post. He's a great follow on Twitter. His name is not even his Twitter handle. It's at Soccer Insider. We're really excited to have them, well, have him back on the show, but have the soccer presence. And looking forward to seeing what Team USA does initially. So again, we'll welcome Stephen from down under. So we've gone across the pond and down under. Hey, Jay, guess what? I'm looking at some of the Team USA members on TV. Might have to grab some of that. Yeah, it's going to be kind of fun. If you were not with us to wrap up our show on Thursday morning, there was a match between New Zealand, the host country, one of the host countries. So it's New Zealand and Australia that are hosting. But New Zealand and, shoot, I forgot who they were playing. Who were they playing? New Zealand and maybe it was Norway. I actually think you might be right. New Zealand earned its first ever World Cup win in national history. First time they'd ever had a win on the World Cup stage. And I'm telling you, they were crying. The emotions were flowing. It was pretty neat to see that play out. First World Cup win in their nation's history, and you would have thought they had actually won the whole thing, the whole tournament. I can't imagine what it would be like if they won the tournament on their own soil. So already, lots of fun storylines there. And yes, the Open Championship taking place as well. They're on the course now for round number two. We will let you hear from the leaders, who are not the names necessarily that you would expect. Though kind of a cool first round trio because they're so different. One's an amateur from South Africa who stands 6'8". Another is an English native, which is really neat. So there's a trio of golfers who are sitting at -5, three more that are sitting at -4, and among those top six, there's only one American. You got a few more Americans that are sitting at -3, a handful at -2, including Jordan Spieth. And then moving down through the standings, in red numbers, you have guys like Brooks Koepka, Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Keegan Bradley, Patrick Reed. There are definitely a bunch of big names in danger of missing the cut. Right now, the cut projected is at +2. So Dustin Johnson is sitting on that cut line. Bryson DeChambeau is sitting on the cut line. Phil Mickelson is nowhere near the cut line. Okay, he's 4 off the cut line. But he and John Daly have the same score. That's never a good sign if you and John Daly have the same score.
Not the best guy to mirror.
No. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As we usher in a weekend in the next 4 hours, we only wish we were as cool as Spencer Strider's mustache. Who's had the cooler stash? Spencer or Aaron Rodgers when he does the no shave November? I think he looks a little sketchy, actually. Rodgers.
I'm offended.
Well, I'm offended by your mustache.
How could you possibly say that?
Well, may I try to speak the truth? Spencer Strider's it's pretty mean looking. And I think it makes him look meaner on the mound.
I don't think so.
Oh, now you're going to be competitive when it comes to the mustache. We also have a sad sap of the week that you will not believe. Well, maybe you will. Sports. Athletes.
Bums.
To top it all off now, I need Dan Campbell. We're back in the dumpers.
You're back in the dumpers again.
Can it be one of those final shows of the work week where we do nothing but cackle?
I swear to God, I'm not a lunatic.
You so are, but you should own it. Oh my gosh. I'm feeling that. And do you know why I'm feeling that? Because I'll just admit it. I'm tired. But there's a legit reason, though. We've had so much rain in my neighborhood. I'm not complaining. I'm okay with the rain. We've had so much rain in our neighborhood, and it happens every couple days where we have this round of thunderstorms, heavy thunderstorms. And it's very rare so far in the last, I'd say the last 6 weeks, maybe 4 to 5 weeks, but somewhere in that neighborhood, that we've gone 2 days without rain. Because of that, it's been really tough to find a dry day when my yard is getting sunshine and drying it out so that I could mow it. And I made the decision last week, because I had company coming, but it's my college roommate and she lives in an apartment and couldn't care less about my lawn. She probably wouldn't have even noticed I had a lawn if I hadn't mentioned it. Anyway, I decided that instead of mowing the lawn last week, I would wait because we were having some pretty extreme heat and I didn't want to mow the lawn and then have it burn out. So that's the other song and dance that you do. Obviously, many of you understand. I don't water my lawn. If it doesn't get rain, it doesn't get watered. Anyway, decided I would wait. And over the course of, I don't know, Sunday, Monday, we got a lot more rain. Even Tuesday, we had a bunch of rain. And so by Wednesday afternoon, when it was dry, my lawn had gone from reasonably tall to jungle-like. So Wednesday, I went out and I spent 2 hours on the front yard mowing, cleaning up all the debris, weeding, because the weeds grow regardless, but if there's a lot of rain, you know, the weeds, they're so happy. Happy weeds. My home is a place for happy weeds. And so I spent an hour mowing, an hour weeding, and then also cleaning up all the debris. That was just the front yard. And I was planning on waiting to do the backyard until Friday because I wouldn't have to work after the fact because I was pooped. It was so humid on Wednesday that I was gross. I couldn't even touch anything when I went back in the house. It was so gross. And so I thought, well, I'll wait until the backyard, until Friday for the backyard. But then we're about to get inundated with rain on Friday. And so I had to go ahead and do it earlier this afternoon. Thankfully, now I will say, it was a really pleasant afternoon. We are still getting the haze and smoke, which is, I don't love being outside, and it's not great for my voice. Probably you all can't tell, but I can tell that my voice is, it's different this summer. The quality of it is different. The depth of it is different. I suspect part of that is because I never nap anymore, and I talk too much on the phone to Bob, but that's not the only reason. Part of it is because of the air quality and the voice just, yeah, the particulates get into your vocal cords. And when you use your cords as much as I do, when you use them for work, they just need some extra time. So this week I've been really quiet. Actually, I've not spoken much at all outside of work. Bob calls me and I just sit there. He talks and I listen. I'm telling you, he is the best. The best boyfriend in the history of the world. He actually, well, and then he asks me questions and he'll do this, Jay. He'll go, "So how was the lawn?" "Oh, wait. You're not supposed to talk. Don't answer."
Well, that's good that he can recognize.
Yes. So he starts to ask me a bunch of questions, and then he remembers he's not supposed to be asking me questions and I'm not supposed to be talking. And, of course, my mom doesn't care. Well, that's not true. She waited all week to talk to me and then for fun thought today would be a good day to video call me. So she video called me, and we just waved. And then she, of course, has to ask a bunch of questions. Mom, so she's the one that told me to be quiet for a week. So the crazy part is that here we are. I'm getting set for a trip to Houston to visit both Mom and Bob and also Bob's family for the first time. Yes, I'm nervous, but it's going to be fine. It's going to be totally fine. No, you leave Aaron Rodgers out of it, Producer Jay. Aaron Rodgers has nothing to do with, no, don't do it.
Totally fine.
Stop it. I don't want Aaron Rodgers ruining my personal life. Anyway, that's what's happening next weekend. Next Sunday, I'm meeting Bob's family. And I really would like to have a voice when I meet Bob's family, number one. Number two, I told Mom and Bob I'll be there next week. So can we just put the kibosh on phone calls for now? They've both been very understanding until Mom decided it was a good day to video call. She could only take it for so long. Anyway, they're great. They've been very supportive and just trying to be as quiet as possible. I don't know, Jay, can you hear it? There's just stuff. I can't really explain it. There's just stuff in my throat and my voice.
I heard it, I think, a little more yesterday when I told you I definitely heard it.
Because you hadn't talked to me in a week. That was why.
That is true, yeah. Yeah, a little bit. It sounds a little, I don't know. But like,
you don't know? I'd like to hear the word for it. What word would you come up with?
I can't think of a word for it at the moment. I'll get back to you. But yeah, on the drive home yesterday from here, I could barely even see the city skyline on the way out or the Verizon in front of me. The smoke was insane.
Yeah, it doesn't smell smoky every day, but it is hazy. And we haven't had a clear day of sunshine in I don't know how long. It's been a couple months, and this is not even the smoke from the eastern Canadian wildfires. It's now wafting down from western Canada, and so these are two completely different sets of wildfires. And I know I'm not the only one dealing with it. Not complaining, just saying for those of you who breathe it in and deal with other types of challenges, maybe you have asthma, maybe any type of respiratory issue. You know that it affects you in a lot of different ways. And I didn't realize that it was affecting my voice, but I can hear it. I'm just saying, I can hear it because I talk for a living. And so the quality of my voice, I feel like, has really been affected. So I'm trying to be quiet. I know it sounds funny, but I'm very rarely speaking. Ask Jay when he called. What did I say to you? I guess I texted you.
Yeah, that I can listen, but
I'm not going to be talking much. So I was like, okay. But I can listen. Yes. Now that does not bode well for hosting a radio show. I'm not just going to sit here and listen. That probably would not
say
be,
no more.
That would not be great entertainment. It really would not be good entertainment. But we will get through it. It'll be fun, and then I'll have the weekend off and going to the beach. First time I've done a bunch of water activities, but first time at the beach coming up on Saturday. Supposed to be a gorgeous Saturday at the Jersey Shore. You're welcome to come along. No, not you, Jay. Sorry. The rest of you are welcome to come along.
I actually might have taken you up on that.
Well, we're going to have plenty of snacks. We've got all kinds of snacks. My friend Jasmine and I, we go overboard with snacks.
Is that going to make me not want to come?
Wait, so listen. No, but listen. We have a cooler, maybe even two. We might have two small coolers. And we go everything from crackers and hummus to turkey and cheese wraps to fruit, including apples, trying to think what else we have. Oh, I'll definitely have some cherries because I just bought another bag of cherries at the grocery store on Thursday morning. She's bringing something sweet. So, and then of course we'll have goldfish and chips and trail mix. I mean, it's going to be enough to feed everyone around us at the beach.
Sounds like a good beach array. all good beach things.
Definitely good beach things. So anyway, yeah. It's going to be a good weekend. I'm going to finally finish my blog post that I've been working on for quite a while and staying as quiet as possible. Oh, that sounds so nice. You know what? I might just go to bed at 10 o'clock on Friday night.
That sounds kind of nice, actually.
Bob and I have a date night, but we're not talking. We're watching a movie.
What are you watching?
Well, it's his pick. So we've been watching Star Wars because we were going through it chronologically, and that was my pick. We finished up three.
Oh.
Yeah, we're now, well, we were supposed to get into Rogue One, but suspiciously, he's not a big fan of Rogue One, which makes me really doubt him as a person. But anyway, we suspiciously haven't had any movie nights lately. And so this is his pick. Want to hear something funny that we did? We both put together a list of the 10 movies that we'd like the other person to watch. And because our genres are so different, does not include Star Wars, by the way. No Star Wars. A few rom-coms in there, couple of historical movies, couple of Tom Hanks movies. So I had my whole list. He had his. Half of them I'd not heard of before. Some of them I'd heard of. A couple of them I'd seen. But we each got to veto one. Would you like to know what I vetoed on his list?
I have an idea.
Do you?
Can I guess?
Sure.
The Godfather?
No, actually, I would watch that with him.
Oh, okay.
I would watch that with you. I would watch The Godfather. I'd need to. I just never have.
Gotcha. Okay. That was a decent
guess. No, you know me. I don't like horror, scary movies. So I vetoed A Quiet Place. I'm not watching A Quiet Place. No.
It's not.
I don't care. It's
very tame.
I don't like scary movies, so that's not... I told him that I would sit next to him while he watched it, and I would look the other direction, watch something on my laptop instead.
You liked Jaws, right?
I did, but it's not... I like Jaws because it's animals and it's beach.
Jaws is scarier than A Quiet Place.
No, I'm not watching A Quiet Place. Yeah, but that's your opinion. A Quiet Place is where there's monsters and you can't talk, right?
Yeah, but yeah, that's the one.
At least Jaws is actually a shark or a mechanical one.
Well, Jaws is like psychologically thrilling, where it scares you years and years, decades even after you've seen the movie.
I was not scared to go in the water after seeing Jaws.
Well, a lot of people were.
It's a mechanical shark.
Right, I'm just saying, A Quiet Place, 20 minutes after the film, you'll be like, what did I just watch? Let's go get a snack.
Well, Bob will be happy to hear that, but I did veto it off his list.
So it's gone. It's John Krasinski, too.
I know. I do love John Krasinski, but I don't... Isn't it his wife in that, too?
Yeah.
Emily Blunt? Is that
something like that.
Something like that. Clearly, you don't remember it. It did not stick with you.
It was not memorable, no. I saw it in the theater, actually. I was excited to see it. I think they're making a second one, or made a second one.
They did. They did make a second
one. You see, I always said if they were making a second one, it should be a prequel to find out like why that thing happened where it was without giving anything away. Because
people have seen it now. I don't know. I'm not planning on seeing it, so don't worry.
The new one's going to be, or there is if it came out, is just after. It's a sequel, not a prequel.
What was the one Sandra Bullock was in that everybody was like freaking out over?
Bird Box.
Bird Box.
Very similar.
That was the one where they couldn't speak, right? No, they couldn't see.
If you looked at whatever the entity was, you like died, essentially.
You melted.
Kind of. Like your brain melted
pretty
much.
Turned into dust. Oh.
Yeah, that one was actually kind of good. I like that one. John Malkovich.
Bird Box. What an odd name for
that. That was Netflix.
No, thank you. I'm sorry. Netflix, as in no password sharing Netflix?
Well. Because apparently they're cracking down, but they haven't grabbed us.
Yes. All right. We're off and running. We'll get to, let's see, start of a 4-game series between the Orioles and the Rays for first place in the AL East. We'll also get to the sale of the Washington Commanders. It is official. Get this. There are 21 people in the ownership group. Josh Harris, who also has a stake in the Philadelphia 76ers and the New Jersey Devils. And then 20 limited partners, including Magic Johnson and a bunch of other billionaires. Yeah, is that random? This ownership group is 21 people. I guess the cap under NFL rules is 25.
Should be easy to make decisions.
Well, there is one majority partner, and that's Josh Harris. But yeah, the idea that you have to fork over $6 billion, I guess, requires a lot of people. So the Washington Commanders sale is official now. Also, Aaron Rodgers is officially a Jet, in case you didn't know. And the Open Championship round 2 is underway. So we got a lot to get to. Pretty excited. I completely and royally screwed up at the end of our last show, which I will fess up to. Jay felt like it was his fault too, but I'll take full responsibility for it. We're trying to be better about this, but you know what? If I was perfect, the show would be really boring. Back to the dumpers again. There we go. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. That includes you, Dan Campbell. Also on our Facebook page.
You're back in the dumpers again.
Yep. But at least we're taking Twitter and Facebook with us. That reminds me. Wait until you all hear what Jay said to me on the phone earlier about a social media site. I was kind of surprised to hear this, but I think I'm going to have to put it out there and ask if it's the truth or not. So on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, our YouTube channel as well with our latest Some Summertime video edition of Ask Amy Anything. By the way, Jay may have been supplanted as the producer of Ask Amy Anything because Manny's coming for his job. It's a payday Friday when we get there, a few hours to go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
O2 to Kowser. Swung on, skied ball, left center field. A Rosarena and Siri ranging out, and some miscommunication. A Rosarena makes the catch, though. Hicks will come home. It's a sacrifice fly. Colton Kowser gives the Orioles a 4-3 lead in the 10th. Lau will walk and hit by pitch. Bautista fires. Lau on the ground, throws to Gunner. Gunner to first, and they get a double play! The Orioles pull a double play, and Felix Bautista wraps it up. 2 innings of work.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Orioles Radio Network, the O's go back-to-back wins to wrap up the Dodgers series and then start this series. Was it the Dodgers? Wait a minute. Is that who they were playing? Yeah, it was the Dodgers. Wrap up the Dodgers series and then to start this 4-game set against the Tampa Bay Rays. How about this little stat? We call it nerd alert. Oh, no, that's, see, my voice was okay. It's not that I'm losing it. It's just, it's got some weird quality to it. Like that, you know. Baltimore was 6.5 games back of the American League East leaders at the Rays at the time, of course, to start the month of July, 6.5 games out. But now, in front by a full game, as the Rays continue to backpedal. Nerd alert! Now see, I wonder if I could do that right now. I'm not even sure I could. Nerd alert! Nerd alert! I know I was trying to be a little bit wonky about it. I am nervous. I am nervous about my voice, so I'll be honest with you because it does scare me a little bit that it's not coming back the way that it normally does. But it's all right. It's all right. It's still healthy. I'm still healthy. So, Rays and Orioles go into the 10th. Orioles close it out with a Colton Cowser sacrifice fly in the top of the 10th and then a double play in the bottom of the 10th. And who is right in the middle of all of it but Felix Bautista? Brandon Hyde? Well, we all need someone who loves us as much as Brandon Hyde loves Felix.
How about Felix Bautista? I'm so lucky to have him. He's just, the reason why he can pitch the 10th is because he has such an efficient ninth. You know, he throws under 10 pitches in the ninth inning after pitching yesterday, getting a save yesterday, goes out, has an easy ninth inning against the top of their order, and then allows us to, you know, if we score there, he's going to go back out. But he's amazing, and he does it again.
Yeah, as a closer, he now has a record of 5-1, and he goes 2 innings against the Rays, the 9th and the 10th, as you hear Brandon say. 3 strikeouts, no walks, no hits, no runs, no runners, about as efficient as you can possibly be. And so now you've got the Baltimore Orioles sitting on top of the AL East for the first time post-All-Star break since August of 2016. I shared that stat with you, or that nerd alert with you last night. Nerd alert! Yeah. Kyle Gibson was the starter in this one, and he helped to guide the O's into first place all by their lonesome.
Obviously, it feels good. You really never want to be the team chasing anybody. So hopefully we can, you know, keep playing well. So there's a lot of season left. But when you're playing good baseball against really good teams and you're coming out on top, it just seems to feel a whole lot better.
It's a lot of fun. I think tonight was a great team win. Murray makes a great play. Bautista goes two. Just overall, offense found a way to get it done. Frazier with a huge bunt, so it was a huge, good team win.
Colton Cowser there with the big sacrifice fly in the 10th. And so you've got the Orioles, who are sitting pretty in a really good spot, but in large part due to the fact that the Rays, at this point, can't seem to get it all together again. They end up with another 9 hits in this game. Remember against... I'm trying to think who they were playing in their last series. What they like all blend together. Texas. Yeah. Texas ended up sweeping that series. So the Rangers allowed them 10 hits, but they were only able to score 1 run on Wednesday. It's more of the same on Thursday. And I suspect that the leadership, the guys who are the veterans now, along with Kevin Cash, they're the ones who have to make sure that the perspective is, hey, there's still a long way to go.
We're going to lose baseball games. We're not going to dwell on it. It's not the end of the world. Season's not over today. So show up tomorrow, act like it's the first game of the season, and go out there, try to win a ball game. They're a very good team across the diamond there, and it's just, if everything were to end today, it would be a postseason matchup. So, you know, it's a little bit more strenuous games, and we just didn't come out on top of them.
I do not need to see AL East teams against each other in the playoffs. I'm going to need something different than that. But as Brandon Loeb points out, they would actually end up in a series against each other, but it's July. I'm really anti-scoreboard watching in July, believe it or not, and yet here we are talking about standings, mostly because of what's going on in the American League East. So Orioles with the game lead over the Rays. The Blue Jays, they're still encroaching, won 7 of their last 10, including on Thursday. Red Sox and Yankees are both above 500, and right now would both be atop the AL Central.
It's right in front of us.
We'll see. We'll see if the Yankees can turn their ship around, because they certainly are scuffling right now. All right, coming up, We're going to get to the Atlanta Braves and Spencer Strider's mustache, because that's what I noticed first. Oh, that and the strikeouts. And also, it might be too late for the St. Louis Cardinals, but they've also turned things around. In fact, they've got the longest win streak in baseball right now. Man, over 162 game season, anything can and will happen. Straight ahead, why is it so significant for Josh Harris to be the majority owner of the Washington Commanders? Dan Snyder, no longer a part of the NFL. Wow. It's been a long time since we could say that, more than 20 years. A record sale price. I mean, the numbers are insane. You want to know why there's 21 different owners of the Commanders? Because they all want a stake in the NFL. Because the NFL makes money hand over fist. It's good work if you can get it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, also on Twitter, A-Law Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
When I worked there, I felt as though he was a guy that has lived his whole life to be the owner of that particular team. So it is surprising, I guess. I'm not going to pretend to know everything that's going on there. I'm just more looking at the fact that, wow, the organization's worth that much? And, you know, I couldn't get free coffee?
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Leave it to Mike McDaniel to come up with a twist on Daniel Snyder's ownership in Washington, which has now come to an end. Did you hear the number for the bargain basement price of $6.05 billion? Because $6 billion wasn't enough. They have to tack on another $0.05 billion. Oh, my gosh.
It looks better on paper.
Do you think?
Honestly, maybe a little bit.
$6.05 billion, which, as you know, is a record for the sale of any North American sports entity. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. It's Monopoly money to me. I'm pretty sure it's a pipe dream for most of you listening. But it took 21 different guys to come up with enough of the capital. So there's a certain threshold. You actually have to put the money down. I think it's 25%. You have to be able to put that much down into it. It's required by the NFL bylaws. These owners are not messing around. They are not messing around. Initially, we now know one of the reasons why the sale was held up is because too much of the price was going to be borrowed. Too much of it was not going to be actual money. Instead, it was going to be paper, if that makes sense. And so they had to hold it up until they could come up with enough of the money to put down. But Josh Harris is now the leader of this ownership group, and they're paying $6.05 billion. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It is kind of neat, though, that Josh grew up in Washington, D.C., in that area. And he not only has memories of going to games and watching at the time the Redskins, but he can even remember when he would walk past the old stadium. Some of you may recall it was RFK. That's what it was when I first became an NFL fan. So yeah, he's a really connected and extremely rich new owner that fits into the club, if you will. And he's got a bunch of partners, but it's also emotional, and there's some nostalgia to this move for him.
One of my first memories as a child was walking down East Capitol Street, walking into RFK Stadium, hearing the roar of the crowd, you know, feeling the rumble. I grew up watching Sonny Jurgensen, Billy Kilmer, Joe Theismann, Mark Rippon, Doug Williams, you know, the Hogs, Joe Gibbs, Darryl Green, Art Monk, and three Super Bowls. And I remember that's the Washington, then Redskins, now Commanders, that I remember. This franchise is part of who I am and who I've become as a person.
Joe Gibbs. Joe Gibbs, a major part of that success going back. For Josh Harris, he has real goals, and I'm sure this is music to the ears of Commanders fans who've been through a lot lately.
Obviously, it's an amazing day for me and very exciting, but I've had many sleepless nights, and I will have many sleepless nights. Like, I'm going to sweat this. I feel an awesome sense of responsibility to the city of Washington. I know what I got to do. And ultimately, that comes down to winning, and it's not easy. There are 31 other owners that are good at what they do. There are 31 other cities, but it's on me, and it's on our ownership group to deliver, and that's what we're going to do.
Former Washington head coach Jay Gruden was a guest on the Kevin Sheehan show, and he weighs in on Dan Snyder finally being out of the NFL and Josh Harris taking over.
I think you have to be happy, without a doubt. I think moving forward with a new owner will be very beneficial for this organization. I just think Dan made it too much about himself as far as trying to put his stamp on the team, as far as picking players and coaches and some of the things. And he wasn't experienced enough in the business to make those decisions. He didn't put the work in. For him to pick a player in a draft is asinine because he didn't put the work in. He didn't watch the players. He didn't go to the meetings. He didn't sit in the scout meetings. You know, Mike Brown with the Cincinnati Bengals, I was there. Mike Brown sat in every meeting and he watched the film. He put the work in. So when he made a decision, it was based on what he saw, what he took in from the coaches and he took in from the scouts. So I respected that. I don't respect the guy who comes in and doesn't watch the film and makes picks and tells you who to sign in free agency. It makes no sense. When we're doing all the film work and the scouts are doing all the work, and all of a sudden he comes in and makes a pick. So I think it's going to be a very beneficial move for all the fans and for the organization moving forward.
The Kevin Sheehan Show, which is a DC sportscast, and you hear the former head coach Jay Gruden pulling back the curtain on Daniel Snyder and how he made decisions for the team. According to Jay, he didn't study, he didn't scout, he didn't research, he wasn't in the meetings, but he was the one who ultimately was giving direction about who to draft and who to sign. Now, I guess you could argue the man signed the checks. He's the one who is paying for it. You are his employee, which means you may not agree with it, but you don't really get a say. I mean, that's what it means to have a boss sometimes. But I would say this, whether it's for that reason, Snyder making decisions that some people didn't feel he was qualified to make in terms of the football, or whether it's another reason because of the workplace culture, the investigation that was taking place. I mean, I'm not in any way telling you that Jay Gruden is biased, but think about what happened to his brother as a part of the initial NFL investigation into the Commander's workplace culture and the accusations against Daniel Snyder. Remember, there were hundreds of thousands of emails, and the only ones that somehow got leaked were the ones that humiliated John Gruden and made him look bad and ultimately led to his resignation from the Raiders. And yet somehow there were so many other people, including Dan Snyder, whose emails and communications were protected, or were actually, they, according to the NFL, they got rid of it. They got rid of all of the evidence, all of the materials they used in their initial investigation. Now, the NFL then later hired another group spearheaded by Mary Jo White. And in addition to the sale going through on Thursday, she informed the league's owners about her findings. Now, we can get into some of those moving forward through the rest of the show, but the penalty for Snyder is $60 million. That's his fine. After this independent investigation led by Mary Jo White, which wrapped up on the same day that the Snyders sell the team, he is fined $60 million. Now I ask you, my mom's the math teacher, not me. What is $60 million when held up against what he just sold the team for? $6.05 billion. And I know not all of that money is up front. I get it. It's a mortgage or loan of sorts, if you will. But his fine is $60 million, which is nothing to sneeze at for the vast majority of people on this planet. It's money we can't even fathom. But what is that held up against $6.05 billion? The big penalty is that he's essentially been forced out of the league. I mean, the owners didn't have to take a vote to get him to sell, but they could have and would have, and he would have been forced out, so he avoided that humiliation. Instead, Josh Harris and his group take over, and they've got a fresh perspective and a new direction.
To be successful, we understand that we need to win championships, create a positive impact on the community, and create incredible memories and great experiences for our fan base, much like I had as a youth growing up in Washington.
I like that tie. That's really cool. And maybe, just maybe, he can get past the second round of the playoffs with this team that he owns instead of the Sixers, because that hasn't happened. Though the New Jersey Devils had a fantastic year, and actually it started going back to the season before, in which they had this infusion of young talent through the draft, some good moves, some great signings. They really did have a spark, but also out in the second round of the playoffs, right? All right, so we'll see whether or not the Commanders can, A, make the playoffs, because last year they were the only team in the NFC Beast not to be playing postseason football. But we'll see whether or not they can make it. Let's assume they're a wild card team or they play in the wild card round. We'll see if they can make it past the divisional round. I mean, that's a tall order for a team that has tried 8,000 different quarterbacks over the past, what feels like 4 years, 5 years.
It's Sam, not a Josh Harris curse, right?
Sam Howell, he's the new superstar. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Being a baseball play-by-play broadcaster demands a blend of learned mechanics, intense preparation, and a calm sense of entertainment. How hard is it to do this job? Let's talk to the ones who do it. This is Matt Spiegel. My new podcast, The PBP, Voices of Baseball, will bring those conversations to you as the best working and former broadcasters tell you why and how they do it. New episodes come every Thursday all summer long. Follow The PBP, Voices of Baseball, on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.